Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we are going to be covering Downton Abbey Season 5, Episodes 3 and 4.
And we are going to have our usual disclaimers and caveats and all of those things, which includes that there may be cursing, there are going to be spoilers, because I can't seem to keep any of these episodes straight. And we're having things to drink. What are you having to drink?
Lemon Lime Gatorade. These episodes don't deserve much better.
They don't, but I went with something from the Downton Abbey cocktail book called a Bosom Caresser, which seemed appropriate under the circumstances. It is another one of these like cocktails with weird ingredients. It doesn't taste terrible, but it's weird. So it's got 2 ounces of brandy, 1 ounce of curacao, 2 ounces of light cream, or in this case, half and half. Raspberry syrup, which I didn't have, so I used Chambord and a little bit of simple syrup, and an egg yolk.
Interesting.
It tastes okay. It's just weird, you know, like the consistency is weird, but you know, it was that, or your father wanted me to have a white Russian. That could still happen.
I think there's a better episode later on that you can do that.
There probably is. Although there are other drinks that actually do match to this season a little bit better. The Bosom Caresser seemed appropriate for this, at least this first of the two episodes we're doing.
Yeah, if I'm being honest, I don't know any other episode you could have done that with.
Mm-mm. No,
off the
I mean,
top of my head. Well, at least
yeah,
not one we haven't already covered.
There's some borderline things with Cora. There's some borderline stuff, but not really. So yeah, so we have sections for this, right?
Yes. For episode 3, the sections are Edith, surprised; Mary, surprised; Catmore. She's not a new character, but she doesn't usually get a section. Russians.
Wow.
Cora, Thomas, investigation.
For goodness sake, really?
You caught me at a weird time, mother.
I guess so. What
I also have a note, like, I think it's the next episode that I find very funny, but you probably won't. But we'll get there when we get there.
Whatever.
I won't even tell you until afterwards what line it is, unless you laugh.
So help me. All right, so are those all the sections? Investigations?
Yeah.
Okay,
were you paying attention?
I was paying attention. It just, I wasn't sure if you were done. You went off on a tangent. So
sorry. Yeah, no, okay, let me repeat the sections. Edith, Mary, Patmore, Russians, Cora, Thomas, investigation. Let's
okay.
do Thomas first. Thomas is really quick.
Yeah, he's really quick. So he's having issues. He says his father's sick. He wants to go away somewhere to see his dad. Ms. Baxter's like, oh, your father was always nice to me. And Thomas is like, well, he wasn't nice to me. And so he goes away.
Well, he also makes like a really private call, and he has a magazine article up, and he's clearly calling a magazine about something. How to change you or something of the like. And so
you can change your life, I think, is something
like that. Yeah. And so that's what he's trying to do. That's Thomas. Mm-hmm. The investigation, moving on to the investigation. Investigation mm-hmm. is going oddly.
Right. So
there's a witness who is a woman who is behind Green whenever this happened, whenever he was now presumably pushed, because now they think it's a murder instead of an accident. And so she heard Green say, I knew
what are you doing here? What are you
something
doing?
Something similar to that. Why have you come, or something.
Yeah.
And which he asks a lot of women. I have a feeling
that's
horrible.
Really? No, never mind.
Sorry. It's apparently haunted the woman, the witness, since, and so she came forward And now Willis is asking Mr. Carson what's about, like,
Right.
his Green's stay there, because apparently Green complained to some servants about his stay at Downton, and particularly Mr. Bates,
Right.
for unknown reasons at the time. And so they questioned Mr. Bates about where he was that day. He was in New York. He went to a couple shops as they were opening. He, according to a story, he had plenty of time to go to London and come back.
Of except for he says he had lunch in a pub and had a sandwich, but he's unclear
Yes.
on which one. So, in any case, that's pretty much the entirety of the investigation for this episode, right?
Yeah.
Okay. We
You want to do
have,
Patmore next?
yeah, so Mrs. Patmore gets a letter from her sister about Archie, because they're putting up a memorial in the town that Archie was from, and they won't let them have Archie's name on it because he was shot for cowardice. And Mrs. Patmore's really upset about it, and she wants Mrs. Hughes to talk to Mr. Carson about it. And Mr. Carson's like, we can't put his name on this memorial. That's not, he doesn't cite to a rule at that time, although apparently there are rules about it, but he says that, I just don't think it's appropriate to consider what he did the same as, these others who, did their duty, basically.
Yeah.
And she's upset about that. She's mad at Mr. Carson about it. And that's pretty much that, right?
Yeah, at this point, yeah.
Okay.
So I guess we can talk about Edith. Edith is stalking her daughter again, and she's back at
So
the farm,
creepy.
and she's look apparently looking after Marigold while Marge is taking the two sons out to the dentist. And apparently Drew can't do it because he's working on the farm. So Edith is there looking after Marigold. When Marge comes back, she cannot find them anywhere, and she gets very, very scared that she just took the child away, because she's been acting like she's going to take the child away. And so she finds them, and she's like very concerned, and she's like, yeah, no, you don't need to look in right now. Tomorrow, it's fine. Don't worry about it. And then she basically gets in a fight with her husband about Edith being inappropriate about this whole situation. And she's also concerned, like, she can come into her life later and be her benefactor of some kind later on in life. Is it really helping the child now to be very confused? And she also just gets mad at her husband because her husband's, he obviously knows the truth. And I don't know why he hasn't told her yet, but it, which I, it's not like she's going to tell anybody, as far as I'm concerned. I really don't think she's going to tell anybody. I think she's in
Well,
her
I think
right.
she might. So here's the reason why I think she might, because at this point she's so angry with Edith that she might. If she had been in on the secret from the beginning, I agree with you. But to bring her in now when she's like just pissed at Edith, she could say anything.
Well, I think she can do that even now without the information. She can be like talking about it in the village about how Edith's really being overbearing. And I think that's more of a danger than her finding out and then being like, oh, I'm going to tell everybody in the village. So I think that's more of a danger at this point. Either way, I think so. Drew visits Edith before this Russian tea thing, and he's basically like, yeah, no, you can't come around anymore, just for a little while. Just he doesn't give her a specific amount of time, but he basically tells her, yeah, you can't come around to see Marigold. We think you're confusing the child. Marge is really having some issues with you being around her so often, so just stay away for now.
And
And
she
Edith is
walks
heartbroken.
off and runs off and cries.
Yeah, because it's her child. But I also wrote in all caps, what did you expect? You were
Yeah.
going there every single day.
Yeah.
Can you imagine you just raising this child as your own, and being, and then this lady comes along and is just like, hey, I'm gonna hang out with your child every day. Don't think it's creepy. And it's like, okay, well, how am I supposed to feel about when you like roll up in your windowless van and it's just like, no, I'm just taking Marigold for the day. Like, how am I supposed to feel when I leave her in your charge and I can't find you afterwards? You
Right.
definitely think that's an abduction situation. And
Yeah, no,
it's just,
there is
it's ridiculous.
Justification on the part of Marge about this. I think that Marge is in the right as far as
absolutely. It's
and it's
ridiculous.
Right, I don't really empathize with Edith in this situation. I know we're supposed to,
I
because, you
feel
know,
bad that she.
I'm very sad for her to be in a situation where she has a child that she can't raise.
Yes.
I get that, but she has made it worse for herself by doing it this way.
Yeah, I don't see why in the first place she couldn't just fake that there was a friend of hers who died, who do the same thing as Drew, and just take the child back to the nursery and just be like, listen, I had a friend, you didn't know them very well, but my friend, obviously, like, you should tell your family, but
Yeah.
maybe you could come up with the whole idea that, hey, I had this friend who passed away recently, leaving a child as an orphan. I don't want them to be in an orphanage, so I'm going to take the child under my wing. There
Yeah.
you go. Bada bing,
Yep.
bada boom. Like, died in childbirth or something like that. Like,
Right.
something to tug at the heartstrings,
Anything
but
could
not to
happen.
question.
Right. Right.
It
But
shouldn't be
no,
this
we don't.
hard, Edith.
It is not this hard. It is hard because it's Edith and it is drama and all of those things. So, yeah, so that's Edith pretty much.
You want to talk about the Russians?
Let's talk about the Russians.
You talk
So,
about the Russians.
Rose has been working with these Russian refugees and she's been taking them to. We haven't seen very much of it. Most of it has been off screen. But she starts talking about how she has been planning outings for them and she was sorry for them. And it's actually kind of comical because she talks about it at dinner and she's talking about her empathy for these incredibly rich Russian counts and princes. And I was like, oh, they've just lost their whole lives. You know, they used to be shopping and hanging out with their friends and going to dances. And now they can't. And Charles like thinks this is hilarious. Like, yeah, that's what real life is for normal
That's
people.
from last episode, but yes,
Whatever.
essentially.
So this is the setup for it. And then she wants to have a tea for them at Downton and invite them there. And Robert points out that Lady Violet and his dad had been to Russia and that they have some items that they brought back from when they were there. They were at one of the royal Russian wedding things, Princess Marie to somebody or other. And so he points out that they've got these artifacts that, you know, they could show them and they want to invite all of these Russian refugees there. So the Russian refugees, and it's kind of a big ornate thing and Rose wants everybody there. And Violet shows up. I'm skipping
Well,
past anything else,
yeah, you're
but
skipping past Bunting, who's also
oh
there, and
God.
insults the count, and by being
She's
like,
so
oh.
awful. Right. So she comes in and she's like, well, you should have been kicked out because y'all were terrible, basically. And the count is very upset and he's gonna, you know, get up and leave and bring all the other refugees with him because they're all like, you know, aristocracy type people. And Robert's furious because Bunting's been just awful. And Robert's furious, like, this is why I don't want her here. But Rose is able to say, oh, hey, come look at our artifacts. And so they do. And while they are looking at the artifacts, Violet is reminiscing about them. And there is a fan that she had received as a gift while she was there. And there was a discussion about, oh, did you get this from, did dad buy this for you kind of thing? And the prince comes out with, I remember when I gave that to you and you had to hide it in your reticule so that your husband wouldn't see it. And she's like,
Yeah.
holy shit.
This man is Prince Kuragin, and that's a bitch to write down every time he comes up. So I just
I
name
just
him
put
Prince K.
Prince. Prince.
Yeah, and so he is
The
very
guy
Russian.
formerly known as Prince.
Oh God, now he's just the male symbol or something, like Austin Powers or something. Either way, I'm just he. This whole plot line, I think it's interesting to do a quick little deep dive into Violet's past. Sure, like that's fine, but the stuff they decide to do with it, I'm just like, this is just boring.
Yeah,
Like, I don't
it's weirdly
care.
done. It's weirdly done. But she, go ahead.
It's just stupid. What were you going to say?
So that's the big reveal, is that one of the Russian refugees is this Prince Kuragin, who has this past with Violet. Was there
Yeah.
anything more in this episode with that?
No, but if I remember in like all of the promos for this season, it would always start with Granny has a past or something, and I'd just be like, whatever, I don't care. But yeah, so that's the Russians.
It matters to Mary because of what Mary's been doing in this episode.
Yeah, Mary's been getting it on, and
With Tony.
yes, and so they've been screwing all week, and they're you
Sounds
didn't
so
like
vulgar
fucking
when you
last
say that.
time, so screwing is my chosen
I
word.
just, you know, it's still pretty vulgar. I'd like to think it was nicer than that. They seem to
Well,
have more.
Mary doesn't really seem to think that this led to much for her, but still, they do it, it's fine, they have adjoining rooms, and then as Mary's leaving, Sprat, Violet's butler, who's also in Liverpool for his like niece's wedding, he sees her get into a cab and Tony giving her a kiss on the cheek and then going back to the hotel. And so he had heard apparently about the fake sketch trip, and so she so when
He
Mary
says
gets
something to Violet, yeah.
yeah he says something to Violet, Violet covers for her, and by saying there was like an unofficial convention for Yorkshire or like northern landowners or something, and so okay, and so
Right.
Sprout's kind of putting his place, but he also brings it up to Mary, which I think is very rude of being
And
like,
I
"How
do
was
too.
Liverpool, Lady Mary?" And she's just like, "What?"
Yeah, exactly.
And but either way, they cover. She's covered for that with Sprout, and she basically Violet's like, "Wait, so you did this, and so you're going to marry him, right?" And she's just like, yeah, no, he's basically already proposed. We're kind of just thinking about things right now, about like he wants to choose a date, but she doesn't really seem that enthused about it.
Even like the more one of the mornings that you see them in bed together after he leaves, she's kind of like eye rolling a little bit, like she's suddenly bored with him.
Yeah, even though he's doing all the right things,
Right,
she's just
exactly.
bored, and it's a lot like what Charles. I almost said Charles Bingley. I'm sorry. Charles
No.
Blake said of like, yeah, no, he's just not as smart as you. I'm sorry, he's not, and he's not going to challenge you the way. But I also don't really think that, right, like post-coital glow kind of thing is supposed to be where you're getting a lot of your deep conversation from.
Right.
Like you're really supposed to intellectually challenge someone after coitus. So I'm confused about like why she's like so
You sound
disappointed.
like Sheldon.
I do because I apparently screwing, fucking, and love making was not up to your standards, mother.
Starting with coitus.
It's
Okay.
another choice. Either way,
Love making was
love
fine.
making is fine, but I'm gonna try other ones before the time is through. And so
Okay.
after their banging session, he banged her like a drum. And so I
Clearly,
told
you
you, you
know
caught me
that
at a weird time.
I can say really terrible things that I'm not going to. So,
Yeah,
anyway.
fine, whatever. Either way, I think that just in general, I think it was like not the banging in particular, but like just the general like trip was not what she really wanted. She wanted this, but she was expecting a little bit more from it. She was
Yeah.
expecting what she got with Matthew, which you're not going to get again. Not the exact same thing,
Right,
but
because his sense of humor is going to be different. You know, the things that they connect
and
on.
I wish
She,
they had
and
brought that up.
well, but that's her thing, is that she's like, I just don't know that we have that much in common. And it's like, other than
Yeah.
sexual attraction,
So
basically.
she's concerned about that. But either way, like she's trying to convince Violet that at least trying it out for a week was the right way to go. And Violet's like, I can't say that, but sure, whatever. As long as you guys get married, it's fine. And as long as you guys were discreet, fine. Do whatever you want, but just
Well, she also says things that are clearly contradicted by the existence of Prince Kuragin. Like, she's like, I just don't, you know, a woman in my day just didn't think about like having sex with a man unless her
until she
parents
was told to.
until she was told it was like bullshit. Obviously.
Absolute bullshit. All right. So that's basically the end of the episode.
Yeah. What were your best parts of this episode?
Baxter and Molesley, I really liked them. Oh, Cora. Cora. Wait, we have
stuff. Oh, we forgot Cora.
I'm sorry.
That was rather silly. This wasn't it. So yeah, Cora.
I was so distracted by everything else. Yeah, no, Cora.
Up to London.
To see Mr. Bricker, to go to the National Gallery and
look at Della Francesca's paintings.
Yeah. And so they go, and he's flirting as always, and just very, he's hanging on to her every word. And she clearly misses that, because she mentions to Robert before she goes that she misses that during the war she was in charge and people listened to her and valued her opinion on things. And but Robert is just kind of being a little bit patronizing and just kind of like, oh yeah, dear, it's fine. Because there's also this matter of Pip's Corner, where there's this builder who wants to put 50 homes in Pip's Corner, like modern homes in Pip's Corner, on their estate. And but Robert's against it, but he won't tell Cora the intricacies of what's going on, even though she asks. He just kind of ignores her. And this happens next episode as well.
Oh, I don't want to bother you with it, dear.
Yeah. So it's kind of like what he was doing to Mary at the beginning of season four. It's just, awful. You shouldn't do that. And so she goes up to London. They have a nice time. And then afterwards, Bricker's like, hey, let's get dinner. And she's just like, yeah, no, I guess so. She even tries like calling Rosamond because she's staying with Rosamond. And, but it doesn't go through or something. And so he sends a telegram instead. And so they go out to dinner. Then as they're walking back, she talks about her first time in London and all that stuff. Like, general, like, it feels like a first date. It shouldn't, but it does.
Right. And it does. It does. Yes. And he's talking to her, and she's talking about when she was a debutante and how exciting it was and how she, you know, had a lot of men on her dance card and that kind of thing. He's like, oh, of course, you're so beautiful. I'd love to do this again. Yeah, that kind of thing. I mean, he's really.
And she's like, it can't happen again.
Right, exactly. And so, but she gets back to Rosamond's and Robert's there. And he's
because
gone
Robert,
to surprise her.
Yeah, he wanted to surprise her, go dancing, and just like to kind of make up for what he was doing earlier. Because I think he clocked that he was being a little bit of a dick. Mm-hmm. But he goes there, and then she's like, oh, I'm so sorry, I would have come back. And I think genuinely her reaction to him being there, I think that should have been enough to be like, okay, well, she doesn't see it as a romance thing with Bricker, or else she would have seemed a bit more guilty about it. But she seems genuinely happy that Robert's there. But either way, she is like, oh my gosh, you're here. And then he's just like, yeah, no, I've been waiting. And I thought I would take you out. And I thought that we would get dinner and all that stuff. I thought it was going to be a nice night for both of us. And she's just like, oh, well, I'm sorry. If you had told me, I would have been here. But instead of being out with another guy. And he's just like, well, so why did you go out to dinner with him? And she's like, I didn't have any other plans other than with Rosamond, and I thought I could just, like, I mean, he was interested in what I had to say. And he's like, why would he be interested in what you have to say about art when he's an art historian? Like, you don't know anything about art. And she it's very patronizing. It's very awful.
Well, and I think that what he should have said is, I think he has more than art on his mind.
He kind of says that he's not interested in your opinions of art. He's interested in you.
Right. That's what he means to say, but it's not how it comes out of his mouth.
Yeah. And then she's like, well, I'm going to bed. Good night. And then once they get back for the Russian thing, things are rocky, and he says something to her, and she's like, well, you clearly don't value my opinion, so why does it even matter? And then he's just like, I was cross earlier. I'm sorry. I was very, very upset when I found out that you were out with another guy while I was trying to surprise you with a romantic surprise. And then she's just like, yeah, you have every right to be angry, but you don't have any right to, like, for injustice, to be unjust and be ridiculous and rude. But yeah, you can be angry about that, sure. But also, like, you could have just telephoned earlier and been like, hey, I'm planning something. Don't plan anything for the night. So, especially considering she was only going to be there a night, I think that he probably should. I understand the idea of a romantic surprise, but if it was unlikely that she was going to be back at Rosamond's for dinner, I think he should have just told her.
Right, but he didn't know. He thought she was going to meet Rosamond. So, I see how this happened. I think miscommunications happen, you know, with stuff like that. But it is not a good thing for their relationship at that moment. So,
also with Cora is the Baxter thing. Baxter tells her the entire story. And basically there was this guy who coerced her into stealing the jewels. And he was an awful person, very abusive, very toxic. And so she gave him the jewels. They were going to meet up at a specific time. It's very Once Upon a Time with Neil. Mm-hmm. If you know, you know. And they were supposed to meet up. And then she got caught and took the blame instead. So that's basically that. So yeah, my best parts are Baxter mostly. Because they're very supportive of each other, because like when she's telling Molesley that Cora's given her an ultimatum about you need to tell me the whole story or you need to leave, Molesley's like, well, you can create a condition that what you say doesn't leave the room and that you want it like dead and buried, gone. And so she makes that request and Cora of course says yes, so whatever. I like Violet in this. I like Violet talking to Mary about, like, hey, you need to be careful. You need to know exactly what you want now. Because since this is done, if you are caught or if anybody else but Sprat saw you, you're screwed. ways than one. And also Marge, I think she's fully in her right to refuse Edith access to the child if she thinks it's what's best for the child. And I think that Edith constantly stalking them and just being there every single day, getting in the way. And I don't think she's exactly getting in the way, but in the way of a regular routine with children, I think is a big problem. And to confuse the child about like who's who and all that stuff, especially at the young age that Marigold is, it's just, it's messy. Also, Tony's abs.
I did not.
You briefly see his abs for like 2 seconds as he gets out of bed, and it's like it's nice. I was very happy.
Mr. Nightfall himself. There you go.
Yes.
So yeah, I did not know Tony's abs, but good for you.
Thank you.
The only things I wrote down: Baxter coming clean, and Cora with Baxter. I think that Cora handles the Baxter really, really well. And one other thing that I noted. Cora's outfit for the tea with the Russians is like really cool looking. It's got this kind of like, I really like her jacket and skirt. That's really cool. What were your worst parts? I have a lot of them.
I do too. Edith, you should have known that you, like, even Robert told you that they're going to get sick of you at some point. Like, there's going to come a time where you've crossed the line of you're basically there every single day. You might as well have just taken the child yourself. And so I think that you should have come to that realization sooner and have like stopped this whole thing like dead in the water, but she didn't. And so she's annoying these poor people. And Marge is doing her best. Marge is raising this child that you gave her, and she's doing it to the best of her abilities. And you are encroaching on that. Like, I don't know what more you expected from her. She's trying to be a good mother to all of the children she has been given, and so what do you expect
from Marge's perspective? Edith has nothing to do with this child. Edith has nothing to do with the child being there at all. It's Drew's friend that died or whatever, so she's gotta be sitting there thinking, why in the fuck this kid and not my other kids? What is going on here? Did you have sex with her, Mr. Drew?
Exactly. So yeah, Edith, Mary being wishy-washy, I think that I'm glad she kind of figures out that this is not what she wants anymore. I think that I'm glad that she's kind of finally figured that out, but I also feel bad for Tony in the meanwhile of like, oh, well, I don't really want to marry you, which we'll approach next episode, but it's just like, I don't know. I feel bad for him. I feel bad for Charles Blake. I feel bad for Tony. They were just kind of on the end of a string, and that's just how it happened. Bricker, dude, she's married. Like, leave the lady alone. And she has also been as polite and kind as possible. If you want a friend that to talk about art history, sure. But clearly you don't want to talk about art history now, do you? So please leave the poor married lady alone. She clearly is not getting a divorce anytime soon. Unless you really caused that much damage.
For you? For the art historian? I don't think so. The Countess of Grantham is going to leave her husband for you. No.
Yeah. Robert being patronizing, I don't like it. I really don't. I can understand him being upset about the surprise gone wrong, but I still think he could have done things better. And Bunting, Jesus Christ, leave these people alone. Like, yes, obviously their lot in at that time with Romanovs and all that stuff, like they were not letting other classes live as well as they did. But not all of that. Well, I'm not going to make any assumptions. I was not there. But I still think that it was very impertinent of her to talk about, like, oh, yeah, no, you did things wrong. So you kind of deserve to be in poverty right now and in a different country from your own. So just deal with it. It's like, are you kidding?
Like, yeah.
Leave these people alone. Like, you came up for tea. Like, drink your tea and just be like, oh, yeah, the old times, and then talk to Tom about it later. Like, you don't need to say everything to somebody's face.
Yes, I agree. Like, keep you are
in your head. Your
opinion, but not everybody needs to know your opinion.
And that's going to come up in the next episode. Yay.
No, all right. So my worst parts, obviously, are Edith. I mean, that whole storyline makes me insane. Mrs. Patmore, and I think it is more of a... I don't fully understand why she is so upset about this situation for her nephew. And I guess, you know, if it were her son, that I would understand it a little bit more. But she's very, very upset. And she's very, very angry. And I just, on some level, I kind of sympathize with Carson on this one. I understand. I understand where she's coming from, that sacrifice should be acknowledged as well. I don't think that they are equal or that they are the same.
No.
And I think that that's really what the issue is that you're trying to make these things that are very different equal.
And yeah, I think that's a problem. But I also think that it's more just an issue of just him being left out of the names. I think that it's not even like the sacrifice part. It's just him being left out. Mm-hmm. I think for her, it's just like, oh, well, so his means nothing at all. Like, he's not even on a list of names of people who, like, went to fight and died for reasons that are out of Patmore's control. And maybe even out of Archie's if he did indeed receive a head wound that caused brain function abnormalities stuff. But the fact still remains he was shot for cowardice, and I don't know if you would want that memorialized. I would want to be reverent, and also you have people who probably would ask questions about that. And
yes,
obviously, like,
he was odd.
Everyone was told that he just was shot or whatever, and that's fine. But I think that just generally for the family, I don't really see why they would want it to be. Well, I don't know.
You have a situation too, and a lot of these troops, you know, like they went over together, like with a local or regional squadron or whatever. Mm. Somebody would know, right? So again, I feel like that's opening up cans of worms that you might not really want to open up, but I understand why the writers are doing it this way because the writers have an agenda. And so much like the other agendas that we have to deal with, and they have been in this show like they are in every other show. I mean, like, why did we have the whole abortion storyline? That's why. So, you know, that's fine, but you start feeling like you're getting beaten over the head a bit. So included a Cora with Bricker. I mean, I don't like Bricker. I think he is awful, but Cora should be
entertaining
smarter than this. Yeah. And to, you know, it's one thing to, like, he's at your house and he's flirting with you. It is another thing. You go up to London to meet with him, and then, oh, let's have dinner. And oh, That's not okay. Robert obviously is patronizing. It's terrible. I didn't really like Violet being so contradictory in this. I like the fact
I honestly forget why I put Violet. I really don't remember.
Bunting, I hate. I don't like Sprat. I mean, Sprat, like,
oh, no.
I don't like his whole intervening in this thing. And I don't like the...
I liked her covering for Mary. I liked her, when Sprat brings it up, I liked that she covered for her.
Oh, yeah.
I should have specified. She's
very clever about it, so I've got to give her some points for that. But I don't like the big thing. I don't like the cops and Bates. And I,
Willis
what other
is just so fucking annoying. Just leave us everybody alone. There's going to be a moment in the next episode where I'm just like, why is this fucking relevant?
Right. So, and I want to point out also with Violet is that she, part of what we get is her making comments to Isabel about Lord Merton and stuff. And it's like, I don't like that much because she's clearly like just wants to be the great lady kind of thing. Yeah. So what grade did you give this episode?
A C. I can't give it anything else because it's worse than the last episode, I think.
Yes, I agree.
It makes me more mad. And I think just generally it just kind of, again, the characters, what are the characters doing now? I can't say I really love any of the characters at the moment.
No.
Not where they are right now. Rose is actually doing some nice stuff. Like, she's helping out Russian refugees.
She doesn't
And you'll see. She doesn't salvage it. Absolutely not. But I think that, which is weird, when I think of this season, I usually think of Rose's storyline. And, I mean, that never happens. But, oddly enough, it's the thing that sticks out to me. But we haven't gotten there yet. So, I can't say anything. Right. Either way, let's move on to episode 4. The sections are Edith, Mary, Rose, Violet, Isabel, Thomas, Bunting. Let's start with Bunting. So Bunting is invited to dinner.
Was not dead yet. Oh, sorry.
Is invited to dinner again. Even Why? Though I think Cora was just trying to make Robert mad at this point. And everybody else was invited to the dinner. Spoiler alert, Shrimpy's at the dinner, Bricker's at the dinner. Whatever. So everyone's at this fucking dinner, and Bunting decides now is the time to really set Lord Grantham's teeth on edge. And what does she even say? It's so bad. She's just super rude. Like, she's really, really rude. And
oh, is this the one where she calls Daisy?
Yes. So basically what she says is, I think, I forget who brings it up, but somebody brings it up that she's teaching Daisy math or whatever.
Right, tutoring.
And Robert's like, yeah, no, I've heard from Carson that Mrs. Patmore said that it's been like causing a little bit of a disruption downstairs. And obviously it's because he doesn't really like her all that much, but also I think it's a genuine concern that productivity may be decreased or something. Either way.
Right. It is actually a legit thing. Mrs. Patmore did have to yell at her because she was studying and not doing her work.
Exactly. And also, and then so Miss Bunting's like, when Robert doesn't use Daisy's name, Miss Bunting's like, you don't know her name, do you? And then Mary's like, no, of course he does. It's Daisy. And Miss Bunting's like, well, he knows it now. And I'm like, are you kidding?
Yeah.
First of all, this is not your household. And also, you've never been in this situation where you're surrounded by all these people and you have to remember their names, first of all. And also, he's usually never allowed to see Daisy. So, what? And also, like, I think he should know Daisy's name. I think he probably does. But I think that just generally to, it's this horrible situation. And so she basically is like, well, how about you call Daisy up right now and we can ask her? And
Mrs. Like, Patmore.
And Mrs. Patmore. It's just like, first of all, they're doing the cooking right now. Like, this is not the best time.
It's like, they're super busy. What's going on? And they get called up there.
And also, it's embarrassing.
Yeah, and Mrs. Patmore's like, oh my God, there's something wrong with the dinner, you know?
But Daisy basically is like, well, Patmore was like, yeah, no, I was upset about a different thing with the whole, like, Archie thing. And but also she also kind of felt like there was a little bit of lagging there, but overall Daisy just like gives a glowing review of like how she's learned so much more than she ever expected she could.
I know things now.
Yeah, it's a little bit Red Riding Hood in Into the Woods, but I think that just generally, like, I like that Daisy feels like she's learning a lot, and I think it's important to praise teachers for what they do. I don't like bunting. So it makes it difficult for me to appreciate a speech like that when I'm just like, okay, well, what are you teaching her? Like, not that her radical ideas, whatever. It's her tone and her rudeness at, like, an impertinence at various formal events where you shouldn't just, like, say stuff like that. And you should know that. You're teaching kids manners, right? Like, I don't understand what the problem is. Like, I really don't understand what
the example is. You are supposed to be an example to others, and you're not. The example you're setting is a poor one, and I feel like that is it's just awful. But she continues to be rude to Robert, you know, like even after this, like she says something, and I can't remember what it is. Like she's just trying to rub it in to Robert, like "see, I win" kind of thing. And Mary even jumps in and is like,
"Oh no,
what are you doing?"
I think that what she says, Robert's like, well, I'm glad that she's learning stuff. I'm glad that things are actually going well, better than I expected. And she's like, are you glad? Because I think you just want them in that lot forever, to live in, like, cradle to grave, just serving you. And he stands up, tells her to leave the house. He leaves and goes upstairs. And Mary's like, happy now? And then they move on to talk about Edith, because she's the icebreaker, I guess.
Yeah, but it really is just horribly, horribly rude. I mean, she's just awful. And you're a guest in someone's house. You don't behave that way. And you can see that Branson's really upset about it. Like, I don't know why he continues to tolerate it. And there's other stuff with Daisy later that I'm kind of like, what on earth about this do people not understand? I really don't.
So now that's bunting. Let's talk about Isabel really quickly. Isabel is proposed to by Dickie, and
he's stalking her. It's kind of cute.
It's cute, but cute stalking, not Edith stalking her child. But she's not, like, around a wall.
I'm so nervous. I've tried a couple times, and I'm finally going to do it.
We're not condoning stalking, but, like, at least Dickie knows her.
Stalking involves, like, threatening and scaring. Well, he is not doing that. He is
correct
in love with her, and when he proposes to her, she's kind of like, oh, you just want company kind of thing. And he interrupts her, and he's like, this is a romantic proposal. I love you. I think I can make you happy. I want the opportunity. I want you to think about it.
Yeah, he just wants her to think about it, and she genuinely will. So that's Isabel.
Violet's kind of ugly to her about it, though, I gotta admit.
A little bit, yeah. But let's really quickly talk about Thomas. So Thomas is in pain and taking drugs to take the gay away. And so, sorry, that was
which
a line.
Not that how that works.
I will say that was the one I was looking forward to. I just wrote it down. And I was like, Jesus Christ, this is a horrible plot line. But, but that was terrible. The funny line I have to say about that. He's using these drugs to, again, take the gay away, which is not how that works. It's not how any of that works. Like, conversion therapy in general, don't do that to yourself.
No.
If you like guys and you're a guy, just live your life, dude. Yeah. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Either way, and especially look now, you don't have to worry about it, really. But
Back then,
everyone has their own journey.
He seemed to think that was going to be, it was going to magically fix his life, which is not how things work.
And Baxter is concerned because he was, like, yelping in pain and in, like, in a room, and she was trying to help him, and she sees the drugs, and she sees the ad eventually, and she pieces things together because she's not an idiot. And so she's just like, oh my gosh, you're doing that to yourself? And he's just like you care. And then he just, like, dramatically goes away.
Right. I mean, he looks like death, and everyone's kind of
concerned.
He does
look like death, and it's like bad. That's Thomas. Let's talk briefly about Rose, I guess. Rose is still helping out with the Russian refugees. You actually see it in this episode. You see, like, the dungeon in the church or whatever.
Right, because Violet and Isabel go to see the Russians because Violet wants to talk to Prince Karaga. And so they go.
Actually, let's talk about Violet first, since we're here. I think that, they see Rose, and she's helping out, like, hand out soup. It's like a full-on soup kitchen. I'm really proud of Rose. I'm glad she's actually doing something.
I am too. And the fact that we didn't really see her journey from Flapper Girl to this.
I'm glad she's taken this turn. And so, even though she still has the naive, like, focus of like, oh, well, they used to do this and now they're not. And it's just, but either way, I think it's a lot better than what she was before. So much better. And she, we'll talk about her in a minute. Violet goes to see Prince K, and he, he almost keeps trying to say Special K.
But, and doves are crying.
And male symbol. And so, so either way,
this is what it sounds like.
Special K male symbol. And and apparently their past is fruitful. And so that's not a good way to put it, but he wanted her to run away with him, but Lord Grantham gave her a locket, I believe, or something with the her kids' that, pictures in them.
Yeah, Fabergé frame, I think. And you know, Fabergé being a very big Russian type thing, you know, that was meaningful to her. And now she does not reveal at that point in time exactly when this gift occurred.
Yes. But it was enough to change her mind, among other things. And so, but we'll get there. But she talks to Special K male symbol. I can't say it with a straight face. But she talks to him and stop it. She talks to him and he does not know how his wife is. Apparently she talks to Shrimpy and she's in Hong Kong working probably as a prostitute.
So she's supposed to be working as a nurse in Hong Kong, we think. Yeah. Or Shrimpy thinks. Yeah, after like when we find out what's, you know, what information Shrimpy's able to find, he thinks that that's where she is.
Yes. And so that's basically that. She's gonna, even though she's not like friends with her, she's more friends with Prince Special K male symbol. So this is so stupid. Either way,
this is the most entertaining thing about the episode right now. It's
just either way. She's more friends with him, and so, but she, and there's clearly a past there that she has not revealed yet, but she will, and it will be stupid, but it's interesting, but you want to see like flashbacks or something instead. Like I would love to see a nice Violet flashback moment.
Yeah, that would be kind of cool. Of course,
like a stylized one where you don't even see their faces, it's just like their hands or whatever. I don't know. You
like
you
in a sleigh or
yes,
in a little red Corvette,
we'll get there. Something visually interesting. Either way.
But yeah, we don't get that. So
no, we don't. And oh, there's also this funny line where Violet says something and Isabel says, "You're only saying that to that to sound clever," and Violet says, "I know, you should try it."
I love that so much.
It's really funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's basically Violet. Let's talk about Rose really quickly. So Shrimpy's gonna be in town from Bombay. He's gonna have to go back to Bombay, but either way, he's not brought Susan with him. Susan didn't want to make the journey. It's also pretty well known that they're going to get a divorce, and he tells Rose, and Rose, she really wants to be on Shrimpy's side, but he's like, don't pick sides, it's not like that. And she also says that whenever she does get married, she wants him to fight her corner, but also she wants to make sure that she's absolutely positive that she's in love with him. And I think this is a great turn for Rose, because Rose's romance past is not good.
And I think it is a very important turn for her too, because you know everything she's done has been a rebellion against her mother. And while you know this I want to be in love thing, it could also be seen as a rebellion against her mother. It's more of a rebellion against both of her parents. It's kind of like you guys
rebellion against what she's known her entire life.
Right. And so I don't want to be that person, but I need for you to be on my side when it comes time. And Sherby's like, yeah, absolutely. And this is the other thing, you know, he has conversations with Robert and with Violet and you know Marion, and they're all like saying, look, we're not gonna take sides. I mean, technically, yeah, we're related to Susan, but they're all kind of like, we like you better. They don't say that.
We all know. Yes.
So, yeah.
And so, that's Rose. Let's talk about Mary. Mary is That's dumping Tony. And, but she's going up to London to do that. She's basically made up her mind that she doesn't have enough in common with Tony. And so she's going to dump his ass. And so she goes up.
It's kind of mean.
It's so sad. And so she goes up to go to a dress show with Rosamund. And there she sees
Charles. The dress show is cool.
It's the dress show is cool. Yes, and she sees Charles Blake and Mabel Lane Fox together at a table. They're not together, but it doesn't matter. She might as well have made her way around her suitors. But Charles, there's this moment where a wedding dress goes down like the runway. Yeah. And Charles kind of makes eyes at Mary like, ooh, look, it's a wedding dress. Are you going to get married?
And she's kind of like, oh, if only you knew, right, kind of thing. Yeah, and so he brings Mabel over and introduces them and acts like, oh, I had no idea you didn't know each other. And they're both a little offended, both Mabel and Mary, kind of like,
well, yeah, I don't blame Mabel for being upset.
Right. But Charles asks Mary to dinner, and Mary goes. And
she tells him basically, yeah, no,
I'm not gonna dump Tony tomorrow. Yeah, I'm dumping Tony tomorrow.
I hope he takes as well as you do. I'm glad you're happy, dude. And he's just like, wow, okay, fine.
But what he says is, you know, there's an easy answer to this. And she's kind of looking at him like, and I think he's saying me. but yeah, there are elements to this that are left undeveloped off screen.
Yeah, I was confused about what he was going to say for a second. I was just like, okay, well, I don't know.
Right.
I guess it might have been an attempt at a joke of like, hey, no, it's me. It's never really made clear because she doesn't implement any kind of tactic that shows any kind of gentleness with Tony.
No.
So I don't think that he taught her anything or told her anything to say. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of bizarre, but when she talks to Tony the next day, she's just like, oh, yeah, that's it. And he is so offended. He's so upset.
He's looking for an explanation, and she's not really giving one. She's just kind of like, yeah, no, it just wasn't going to work out. Sorry. And he's like, am I just bad in bed? And she's like, no, that's not the problem. And he's like, well, then what is? What did I do wrong?
Essentially, what she says, not to him, but to others, is that she got bored.
Yeah,
and it's just like, geez, yeah, that's horrible. That's not good. No, it is horrible.
But he also says, this is just a bump in the road. We're gonna get through this. We will get through this. It's gonna be fine.
This really is that, like, how could you have sex with me? You're a lady, you know, and you could only have sex with me if you were gonna marry me, kind of thing.
Well,
so that's really not real.
I don't think if he was taking the idea of doing the whole week test run thing as a test run, I think he was like, oh, you're certain now, so we can do this and it won't really mean anything, right, or at least anything like negative on any of our reputations. But mm-hmm. I think obviously Mary had other ideas that this was a real test run for her,
right?
And in all in all, I'm glad she did it, just to know that she doesn't want this anymore. But at the same time, at what cost? Like, this is just really sad to watch. Yeah. And I feel really bad for the guy. I do. I find Charles very funny in this episode, to be honest. But Tony, yeah, I just feel bad. But I also feel like he's digging his own grave deeper by being like, I'm going to fight for us, Mary, even more. And I think he's taken that lead from her, given that he fought for her this far. I guess she probably just wants me to fight harder. Like, I think he's just taking the wrong ideas from what she's saying. I think she needs to be more clear and more direct. And even if she's more direct, honestly. And I think she just needs to be dead straight with him. Just like, listen, this was nice, but I don't want to do this anymore. You could always use the excuse of, I'm just not ready yet. I'm sorry, I needed more time. I didn't realize you. And I'm surprised it didn't go with the angle of, he wasn't Matthew. He didn't have the same kind of post-coital convo that Matthew did, or something relating to Matthew. I'm glad she's feeling better about like her prospects now, about like, oh, well, it's not really about Matthew anymore. However, I think you could always take that out. You could always whip it out and be like, listen, Matthew, dude, sorry. And then just be like, I can't marry you anymore. Sorry.
Yeah.
But no, Mary had to take the hard route. And now he's not so hard anymore.
The Annabeth stuff.
Yeah, the Annabeths. I was about to say, so, this is the stuff that makes me mad.
Right, so like, a cop wants to come back and talk about Anna having been. So when they went up to do this one, to talk to Tony Gilliam, Anna delivers a letter to Gilliam's apartments and then goes to buy Piccadilly, and some investigator follows
green
her.
Screen.
Yeah. Oh God, it's terrible.
It's a bad Anna, green screen.
It is bad.
Anna goes to a green screen and someone sees her.
And they talk about, like, basically the fact that Anna is, you know, the fact that she was in London on the day that Green died is suddenly now suspicious.
I fucking hate this plot point, because I think it's so weird that because there was a plainclothesman who was kind of like just standing by Gilliam's house, mm-hmm. and just documenting and following whoever like goes around there, and mm-hmm. yeah, her route was kind of weird, but he does live on Piccadilly, so I don't think it's that weird. But like, she literally just like walks up, delivers a message, goes to Piccadilly green screen, and is just like, oh well, there we go, and then just
like hundreds he's of like, people oh do my God. Every day, right?
I mean, exactly. People walk that way every day. So I do not understand why. And also, how does he know it was Anna? I guess just matching her description. Like, it makes no fucking sense. And so she just, like, walks back. And he's like, oh, and yeah. And I was like, and this is relevant. How? How is this relevant to your investigation? She went there after he's dead.
To return to
That's
the scene.
That's not,
of the
like, a witness account of, oh, she was there the day he died. Well, yeah, no, you can question her on where she was. She was in London, London for the first part of the day anyway. But either way, I don't understand why, like, that's what gets her. It's not that, oh, yeah, you could, okay. If they had done it where they were questioning the people who were in London that day and were from Downton, that'd be one thing. But the fact that the plainclothesman comes into play, it makes no fucking sense to me. Like, if it was like, oh, well, Bates wasn't in London, but maybe Anna was. I think Anna was there with Lady Mary or something. Anything that made any remote iota of a sense would have been great compared to what this was. It made no sense.
No. No.
Either way.
So that's the episode. What were your best parts?
Rose helping out with Russians. And Rose in general, I think, was good this episode. I think her deciding that she wants to, I don't know, just, I just liked Rose this episode.
She's more adult. She's maturing.
Yes. Dickie, I really like his proposal. I think it's very sweet. And Charles Blake, he's so good. I love the little look he gave her whenever the wedding dress came down the runway. It was so That's fucking cute. Funny. I loved cute. It so much.
It's
All right,
cute.
What about you?
I have Shrimpy divorcing. I think
that's
definitely important here. Obviously, Charles Blake. I agree with you about Rose, although I didn't write that down. I have Violet and Isabel. I both like both of them in this. And I didn't put down Dickie, but you're right. I think the romantic proposal, you know, is kind of a winning move. So I those are the things I liked. What did you not like about this episode?
Oh, boy. Special K Miles time. I just don't care about his storyline. I don't. Bunting, Jesus Christ, she's awful in this episode. Mary, I put Bunting twice. I just realized. Bunting, lowercase, Bunting, uppercase. But yeah, Mary, she's been cruel. I don't like it. And I understand, like, again, I understand she's not interested in him and now she knows. But still, like, after all of this time and you're just kind of pushing him aside, it's sad. It's really sad. Bricker, I don't understand why he's still there. Thomas, you should never do that to yourself. If you were gay, don't try to change that about yourself. I mean, be yourself. Just don't try to, like, use any artificial means to change that. Like, that's just awful. And you can hurt yourself, like Thomas. Don't follow in Thomas's footsteps, kids. And the Anne of
Tell me,
Dia.
tell
I
me.
think it's absolute bullshit that this plainclothesman was the thing that was like, oh, maybe Anna's linked. It's like, it's so stupid. I think it's they could have just questioned her and it would have been fine. They were questioning
Yeah.
Bates. I don't understand why they wouldn't just question Anna as well. It's stupid. What about you?
Bunting, I can't stand her. She is so rude, so awful. I think Robert overreacts to her. I put down Cora, and I'm not sure why. I don't know. Cora and Rick are being chatty
Yeah, I
again.
think that's
I
probably
have
it.
no. I mean, why does he keep coming back, and why does she keep defending the fact that he's coming back? But again, it would be one thing if it was a one-shot deal, then Robert wouldn't have any reason to be upset. But when you keep doing this, it's like no.
You can't blame him for being upset that Brooke is in his presence.
And Tony, I don't like Tony in this episode. I feel like he's overreacting as well. Like he's just, like you said, taking the
I
wrong
think he
dick.
has a right to be upset. I think that he should give up at
Yeah.
this
Right. I think he should be more gracious about it, and he's just not. And so my grade for this episode, I'm going to go first on this, was a C minus. I didn't like this episode really at all.
Honestly, yeah. I gave it a C. It's a C minus. I really didn't like it. I'm so sad because these, like, we had not gone below a B minus before this, I don't think.
No.
Before this season. And it's just so sad that there's like even just think about the fact that in seasons 1 through 3, we had multiple A episodes. And yet now here we are, and we can barely manage like an A minus. Like it's sad. We
Yeah.
have not gotten an A minus yet. So I'm just kind of, it's just disappointing.
It is. It's disappointing. This whole season so far has been disappointing. I'm hoping
We
that it's
haven't even
going to
gotten a B
improve.
plus.
No, we have not.
Or B.
Yep, we have not.
Anyway.
So, that's kind of the way things are right now. Anyway, we do hope that things are going to improve. And maybe if y'all
They
engage
will.
us and you have differing opinions, maybe you will convince us that it's not
Yeah,
that
I'd
bad.
love to hear an argument for this season. I
Me
would
too.
love to hear it.
Me too. Absolutely. So we're going to encourage you as listeners to convince us that this is a much better season than we think it is. We're going to keep plodding along though, because you never know, something amazing might be in here. And we hope that you join us. And
Cheers.
cheers.